All right, welcome back to the Wrestling with Altitude podcast. I am your host, Mr. Fourth Row, and on this episode, joining me, I have the one and only Dooley Trailer. Dooley, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Long day, working hard. You know, I make time, so me and you can go over some things for this wrestling show coming up on Saturday. I don't usually make time for people, but I guess you can consider yourself special this one time.
Oh, I definitely appreciate that. So, first question out of the chute. How did you get introduced into this wacky world of professional wrestling?
All right. So, I come from Iowa. I grew up with collegiate wrestling in my family, in my blood. My uncles actually were trained under Dan Gable back in the day before he went to the Olympics and did all the greatness that he did. So, wrestling's always been in my life. Then I came across pro wrestling, which I just thought was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And honestly, I liked the ropes, all the action. It's amazing. But I like the old school stuff, you know, where it was more grappling and brawling, and the wrestlers were like 6'6", built like brick shit houses. So, yeah, I just kind of fell in love with it. And then when I became 18, I was a cage fighter for a while. And that was back in the day before all this tap out stuff, and it became like McDonald's fighting. So, I mean, you can check it out on my Facebook page. Go back to when I was a lot skinnier, a lot younger, and just as good looking. And I did MMA for a long time. And then all of a sudden, I moved out here to Colorado, fought around here a little bit. And then I heard of that there was pro wrestling in town. And I was like, wait, what? Where I come from, there isn't really any independent wrestling. So I just came right on over, and they're like, you, Mr. Trailer, you do MMA? And I'm like, yeah, I know how to beat people up for a living. They're like, would you like to beat people up for us? And I was like, hell yeah, I would. As long as you give me a paycheck, I'll beat up anybody. And here I am.
Oh, well, fantastic. Hey, well, let's dissect some of those things you just mentioned there real quick. So your family's got a good history in wrestling. So what was kind of like your earliest memories of your family history in that?
Well, always going to wrestling meets was always great. When I was little, I'm an only child. I mean, there's only one of me in this world, and I wouldn't want to share the spotlight with anybody else. So when I was little, I'd go to wrestling meets, and my uncles were coaches for my cousins at this point because they got their kids into it, and they wanted to teach them greatness as well. So I used to remember when they were doing drills, I didn't have a partner with me, but I would use my invisible imaginary partner to do the exact same spots. And even my uncle would come over, be blowing the whistle at me. And I would just, I'd be running the stairs. I'd be doing sprawls. I would just be doing it all. Now was since I was knee high to a grasshopper, you know, like pretty young. So it's always been around.
Well, that's awesome. So then, how did you find the professional wrestling? Just flipping through the TV or what?
No, crazy story.
Okay.
So there, I was pumping gas into my truck, and I'm just standing there, and I'd been fighting MMA for a long time, for a couple years here in Colorado. And I was just, you know, kind of like, what do I want to do with my life? Do I want to keep beating people up in the cage? You know, I'm not making a bunch of money doing it. I'm having fun and I'm kicking ass while I'm doing it, but I don't know. Maybe I just want to do something else. And the crazy thing is, I went to hang up my handle, turned around, and I seen this shirt. And on the shirt, it had this guy called Beetlejuice on it. And it was an RIP Beetlejuice Memorial t-shirt. And he had a championship belt on him. And I was like, hey, I know this movie, but I know that belt. That belt is a wrestling belt. The guy turned around, and it was an old IWF shirt that he was wearing. And I was like, what's IWF? So I hopped up on the internet back when MySpace was huge back then, and found the IWF MySpace page, which linked me to their website and all their videos and everything. And this is back in 2007. And come to find out, this company, IWF, no longer around anymore. But at that point, they were starting their second coming. They had shut down due to the wrestler Beetlejuice, you know, dying in a car accident, which was tragic and everything. But they were opening, they had just opened their doors 2 weeks prior to me seeing this t-shirt on this guy at a gas pump. And I was like, wow, I think it's kind of a sign. I'm sitting here contemplating life, kicking rocks, filling gas, and all of a sudden, boom, here's my answer. It's like the heavens opened up and said, Dooley, you're going to do way better in pro wrestling than you'll ever do in MMA. Not that I can't kick ass, but I bring a lot to the table, so I think it was just meant to be.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, did you ever get involved, or not necessarily involved, but interested in when you grew, were growing up into the like the WWF product, the WCW product, that kind of stuff? Were you ever watching that?
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh. I started watching that. I mean, yeah, I was watching that. I remember once my dad took me to see a wrestling show when I was way young, and I think, if I remember right, I swear to God, Hulk Hogan was there, but I was just young, and I was like 5 years old. But I swear I saw the red and yellow, and that I was by the entranceway, and he came out, and his music hit, and he, like, high-fived my hand, and I just fell in love with it. Like, back then, I was like, man, this is the coolest thing ever. I want to be that guy right there. I want to be a wrestler one day. But, like, it's different, because my cousins and my uncles, my grandpa, they thought wrestling was stupid. They're like, you're in Iowa. This is collegiate only. Like, you don't want to wear spandex, and that shit's fake over there. And, I mean, like, not really fake. I mean, punch people in the face. I do it for real. Every time I'm in the ring, I punch them in the face for real. So I don't know where this whole fake aspect comes from. But, yeah. So.
I gotcha. So who were some of your favorites that you enjoyed growing up?
Let's see. I always liked the more realistic than out of this world gimmicks, characters, I guess you'd say.
Okay,
so
I
mean, I like Steve Austin. I like Kurt Angle because of the collegiate, you know, the real wrestling, bring it in there. And I was like, yeah, this is my fucking guy right here. And let's see who else, like when Ken Shamrock came over, that was cool. Steve Blackman for a little bit. Like, I don't know. I just like that realism side more than anything.
I gotcha. Yeah, that's cool. I love that. That's great. So, you said you transitioned from MMA to the professional wrestling arena. In MMA, what was your style expertise? What did you focus on?
I was a stand-up fighter. Muay Thai was my number one, was my bread and butter. Got to have boxing in there. So depending on my stance, if I want to do Muay Thai or if I want to switch into a wider stance to boxing based on what's happening in the moment, I like to stand and throw leather. And you'll see a lot of that in my pictures on my Facebook. If you go check them out, scroll all the way down to the bottom. I upload them and sometimes I share them just to refresh them with everybody, so people know I'm the real deal. But in all my pictures, you'll just see me ground and pounding, throwing leather, ducking punches, throwing right hooks, left hooks. It's my thing. But also I learned Greco-Roman to go along with my collegiate style. When I did get down on the mat, I can't stand jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu just pisses me off. So the moment somebody's trying to use jiu-jitsu on me, it just makes me even angrier, and it makes me just want to hurt them even more, because it's a very passive aggressive type of fighting. And it just, you have no idea how much it pisses me off. Like when I'm down on the mat and you're just going to lay there and you're just going to keep blocking my stuff and you're just going to keep sitting there and waiting and breathing. Like, let's say I got you in guard and you're on top and you're just going to wait for the opportunity to grab that arm bar, right?
Yeah.
That's not how I operate. When I operate, if I want your arm, I'm going to grab your arm and I'm going to rip it out of its socket. I might twist your wrist. I might do whatever it takes. I might even bend the rules a little bit, get my fingers in the gloves, twist the wrist, bend your fingers. As long as the ref don't see, it don't matter. As long as you don't get caught, it's good to go. And that's what I liked. So that's my bread and butter is, boxing, kickboxing, and just getting really aggressive on the mat.
I see. I gotcha. Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic. Okay, well, so then you transition, like I said, from the MMA to the professional wrestling arena. How was that transition for you? How did it go?
It was pretty good. A little bit different because I came over a little bit stronger, stiffer than the rest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just started throwing punches, and these guys were like, hey, you don't need to knock me out of the park. We're just training right now. It's okay. It's all right. you don't need to kill me right now. So that's all. I just had to turn it down a notch because, like, I like to hurt people, and that's what I do in the ring. But, like, they're like, hey, this is a business. And they're like, we'll hurt you just as much as you hurt us. If that's what you like pain, I'm cool with that. But, like, let's do this in a way where we don't end each other's careers because there's not that many wrestlers of us in Colorado. And I was like, all right. So instead of, like, you know, being like a hunting dog or just being a dog and just tearing my prey to pieces, I could just toy with it. And I've been toying with them to an extent for the last 12 years.
Ah, I gotcha. Okay.
So, every time I, like, yeah. and just weird, it's kind of a weird thing, but, like, when I punch somebody in the face, it feels good. When I get a nice body shot and I hear their ribs with that hollow thud noise, I love it. Like, I love gouging eyes. I love stepping on fingers, twisting fingers, you know, taking their knee and twisting it over the middle rope. I like all that stuff. That is fun to me. That's why I do what I do. But so I see it. If I hurt everybody that's across from me, then eventually there ain't gonna be nobody across from me, and then I'm not gonna be happy anymore. So, yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Ah, I gotcha. All right. Well, so then where did you start your training for professional wrestling, and who were your trainers that got you started there?
I trained at the old IWF Butcher Shop, which is no longer around anymore, by a lot of old-timers in the Colorado wrestling business that are no longer around anymore. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Joey Kincaid was one of my first trainers. He's a good guy, super stiff, super strong. If you piss him off, you know, say something wrong to him or whatever, he'll make you pay. Yeah. Especially when you're green and you don't do something right, he's going to make you know. He's going to make you learn real quick. And that's kind of like old school training. They don't have this much anymore, but, like, before training would even start, the vets would give us a stack of flyers. And we had to go run around over to, like, this dog park, around the city blocks. Like, we had to go hand out flyers to every single person that we found for the next wrestling show before we'd even start practice.
Oh, wow.
And thing is, if they walked around, if they found a stack of flyers in the trash or something, if they found out anybody was cutting corners, we were all punished. And if they found out who it was, that person was going to be punished even more. It was a lot more strict and really showed you what wrestling is and why we're here and how we continue to grow and why this business isn't going anywhere. Today, it's a little bit more soft. So it was a lot different back then.
I see. All right. Well, then, what was your first match? What was it like? Who was your opponent and all that good stuff?
All right. So my first opponent, you're getting a really candid view into Dooley Trailer's life. It's crazy. I usually don't open up this much to anybody. And everybody's going to hear this. It's fine. So my first match was against, it wasn't really against, but I was in a Lethal Lottery tournament. It's kind of like a gauntlet match. Last two people standing, whoever wins the title. And it was for IWF. It was for the first ever vacant IWF title. So I was honored that I busted my ass and I got into this tournament. And I was like, all right, it's going to be great. So I wrestled against this guy named Shock Therapy. Shock Therapy was a crazy guy. He had bald hair. He's a bald head guy with this crazy look in his eye and a goatee and a blue, like, jumpsuit type, like, mechanics jumper. And when it's crazy. His music was tornado sirens, which brought me back to Iowa, which was crazy. Every time his tornado sirens would hit, it'd get my blood going. But before I went out to the wrestling ring, this guy, just to get pumped up and get ready to fight, he would take a plastic bag and tie it over his head and breathe deeply as he was running in place and beating himself with a wire hanger, okay? So I see this guy doing this, and I look to my left, I look to my right, and everybody else, they don't even care. It's as if nothing's happening. I'm like, are you seeing this guy right now? Like, am I going to have to kill him? Because I don't have a gun or a knife, and I don't really want to do that, but, like, this guy is crazy. And I've never experienced this in MMA. I don't think that's boxing commission approved. So I just got really pumped. I went out there. And he was out there first. My music hit. I'm coming out that entranceway. I was so pumped. I slid in the ring. I ducked a clothesline off, hit the ropes, came back, and I drop kicked his ass on the next Tuesday. He almost flew out the other side of the ring. He comes back. He stomped my head so hard. Like, I saw stars. Like, I've never been stomped in the head so hard. He took the heel of his boot and just stomped down on my head. I don't even know how it happened. And then he pile drove me. And when he pile drove me, next thing you know, I woke up, the bell rang. So I was out for 3 seconds, obviously, and then he kicked me out of the ring, and that was my first match.
Oh, wow. That is a pretty crazy intro into the professional wrestling arena for you there. Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, then from there, have you who have been some of the favorite opponents that you've had there in the ring? I mean, I hate to ask you that particular question because I don't think anybody's your favorites, but knowing you as I do, but who are the, like, maybe your funnest people that you like to quote-unquote beat up in the ring?
Yeah, so my favorite of all time, I'm going to say right now, and he knows it's true too, and I don't think he'll ever deny it, and if he does deny it, then I'm going to make him pay, is Rob Rizin. The guy that I'm actually going to be facing this Saturday at New Era Wrestling. I've wrestled him many times. I've wrestled him in many different venues at many different times in my career. What I love about him is that I can throw some good punches. I can suplex him in the next Tuesday. I like to make him hurt, but he does too. He gives it back just as much as I give it to him, and it's fun. It's fun to me. Like, all right, that one hurt, but let me give you this one real quick, and then I hurt him. And then he gives one right back to me, and I was like, all right. And he'll kick out of some of the craziest things, which is fun, because then I have to really get down into my repertoire and think, all right, so what am I going to do to this guy to make him tap out or stay down for 3 seconds? 3 seconds is a long time. People that watch wrestling are like, 1, 2, 3. Like, it's different when you're in the ring. It's different when this guy wants to just keep going, right? So Rob Rizin really brings out the best in me, really brings out my lust for aggression and violence. And then, like, I have good memories with him at, like, the Buffalo Rose. We were fighting out in the crowd, and we were just throwing punches back and forth. People started moving their bar stools, and I took off running after him because I hit him in the gut with an elbow right to the solar plex. Boom, he bends over. I go out in the crowd. I took off running. He flipped me up in the air and back body dropped me onto a flight of stairs. The moment I landed upside down about 10 stairs up, I was like, ow, this really hurts. Landing on stairs is no fun. And then as soon as I thought that, I started tumbling down the stairs, and I realized it's not the fall up, it's the fall down that really hurts. I tumbled all the way down the stairs and slammed right onto the hardwood floor of the Buffalo Rose. He slides into the ring. He thought he was going to get me on a count out. I got in at like 9 7/8. It was crazy. Like, I could see the wreck's 10th finger coming out, and I slid in the ring at the last second. And he gave me this weird-looking smile with his hair lip that he has. He, like, gave me this weird smile, like, all right, Dooley, I respect you. Now let's finish this. And he tried to give me a swanton. I put my knees up right into his spine. Tried to give him a trailer plex, and then he beat me with some move I can't even remember right now, which must have been good because I don't remember it.
All right. Well, what about on the flip side of that? You know, you have any favorite tag team partners that you've teamed up with, and like any memorable moments that, like, you know, in a tag team versus another tag team that stand out?
Yeah. I'm just going to talk about Big Rig. Big Rig doesn't live out here no more. He went back to Illinois, but when it was Big Rig and Dooley Trailer, when we got together, we were a force to be reckoned with here in New Era Wrestling. It was me and him and my former girlfriend that the crowd calls my cousin, but she don't matter, so we're not going to talk about her anymore. But Big Rig, me and him, we beat every tag team in New Era Wrestling. They didn't even have tag titles back then. Like, they had them for a little bit in the beginning, and then they just, like, took them away, and they were gone. So then me and Big Rig were like, hey, we're here. We want those vacant titles. We beat everybody. We beat, like, Border Crashers. We beat the Night Terrors. We beat Danger Zone. We beat, a bunch of people, okay? Like, it was crazy. We were undefeated. Caleb Crush and Larry Butabi, and the list goes on and on. And then, all of a sudden, nobody wanted to fight us anymore. That was it. Like, there was no more tag teams that wanted to step up, so then me and him had to split up and go into the singles division. NEW just wouldn't just hand us our belts and say, here, you're the most dominant force that we've ever seen. Here you go. Go defend them. We would have gladly taken them on the road and went and taken them to other companies and said, anybody want to fight us for these NEW tag team titles? Nobody? Nobody? All right, I guess you're all a bunch of sissies. So, yeah, I miss Big Rig. I miss that we had to go singles, but that's what happens. And we haven't even had tag titles until, what, up to like 3-4 months ago here in NEW?
Right.
And me and Big Rig weren't one of the things. Me and him were tag team over 5 years ago. So, I mean, it's been a long time of singles only in NEW. So, if they would have just brought those back, I mean, we'd be talking a different story right now. You'd probably be talking to the longest reigning tag team champion in Colorado wrestling at this point.
Ah, I see. So basically you're saying you guys were so damn good that NEW just didn't have any competition for you, and so decided to pull the wool, you know, rug out from your feet, the tag team's titles away from you, basically.
As they always do. And yeah, and Big Rig, he also came from MMA too. He was a big dude. He liked hurting people too. It was good. We were a match made in heaven.
Ah, I see. Okay. Well, in the, okay, so then additionally, in your career so far, have you, what have been some of like the most memorable moments or things of that nature that you've had, you know? And it could be, you know, you can have certain, you know, favorites for any particular reason, so.
Favorite memories, good times. Let's see. One of them, I was in the first ever 10,000 thumbtack death match in the state of Utah. That was a lot of fun. That was a crazy story because a rival wrestling company had heard that there was going to be some death matches going on, and they didn't know what that was. So you know what they did, Mr. Fourth Row?
What's that?
They called the cops. So we're at this wrestling show. Police officers show up in a very conservative Salt Lake City, Utah, right, saying they were going to shut us down because somebody was going to die tonight. And we're like, die tonight? What are you talking about? They're like, we heard there's going to be death matches, and we don't know what that is, but we're not okay with it. And we're like, no, just watch a show. If somebody dies, then you can shut us down. I mean, call an ambulance, call the morgue, whatever. You can shut us down. But till then, we have not broken the law, so you ain't got nothing. And they did. And I'm trying to find this footage so much. I used to have a DVD, and I lost it somewhere because, you know, it's all digital these days. But before the show started, because there was a couple other death matches that night, we were just trying to, like, do something different. The owner of the company came to us and said, all right, guys, we don't know when we're going to get shut down. It could be at any minute. So when you go out there, you wrestle like it's the last match. Every match tonight is going to be the main event because we don't know when the main event's going to happen. And I was like, all right, you want this? Let's do this. Let's party. I was like the third match of the night. I went out there with my sack of thumbtacks, exactly 10,000 that I had bought. Make sure I wasn't shortening the crowd on this. When I say 10,000, I mean it. And I went out there and I had a staple gun. I even shot staples at the cops and they were laughing and taking notes in these little notebooks. And I was like, all right, you guys think this is funny, but I'm literally shooting you with a gun right now. It's a staple gun, but I'm shooting you, and you guys are stupid.
Right.
And I went out there. I'm staple gunning this dude in the ring. Pow, pow. And then I had a pizza cutter. I cut him up with a pizza cutter. Then I draped him over the second rope with a fork, and I took a fork, and I stuck it into the open wound. I opened it up just so that the lady at the stand next to the ring in an officer outfit, she was pretty hot, by the way, she was standing there taking pictures just so she could look inside of him. You know, I'm like, yeah, you like that? And then we slammed each other on thumbtacks a bunch. I mean, I was covered. The dude only wore black trunks and some boots out to the ring. So, I mean, he looked like the Tin Man. He was covered in silver by the end of the match.
Yeah.
And it was one of my most favorite matches. I lost that one, which sucked. I almost had it. And he powerbombed me through a tray full of thumbtacks on four chairs. It was crazy. That was a fun memory. I've also wrestled against Kamala out in Illinois at the Gathering of the Juggalos. That was fun. I was back before Kamala had to lose his feet due to his diabetes, which sucked. But fighting Kamala was fun. Thing is Kamala's headbutts are the worst. When he chop blocks you in the throat, he literally knocks your Adam's apple back so you can't breathe. And then when he does his Ugandan splash on you, he puts every ounce of body weight on you and you can't move, and that's how he beat me. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. And I saw up his like little Ugandan skirt thingamabobber. I saw a side of Kamala that I never want to see again.
Yeah, I would imagine so. That's great. All right. Well, okay. So, well, then let's from there. Let's before we talk about the current, let's talk about the future. What do you have planned in the future? Do you have any like dream matches or anybody you want to get in the ring with, like anytime, anywhere, anyhow, or and then any other aspirational plans?
Not at this point. I mean, the only man I want to fight is Rob Rizin, and I get him on Saturday. Coincidentally, they just announced that today. I woke up. They misspelled my name on the flyer, which pissed me off, but. Okay. Other than that, I mean, Rob Rizin, I just like fighting him. Other than that, I don't really have a wish list right now.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fantastic. Well, okay. So then let's, talk about for this Saturday, January 11th at New Era Wrestling. They are having a fantastic card. And one of the matches, like you said, just got announced today, you and the before mentioned Rob Rizin. So. Tell us about that. He's returning to the area. Take on you.
Yeah, I don't know what his deal is, and I don't know if he asked for this match or if Stephen Powers is trying to screw me over like he always does or something, but I'll take the free publicity. I mean, Rob Rison just got done wrestling Matt Hardy in that Woken match, and he's all over the internet right now blowing up because he beat Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
You know? I'll take that because people are going to be like, okay, all right, Rob Rison, he beat Matt Hardy, that's cool. He's going to wrestle this farm boy of Iowa in Colorado, and they're going to laugh me out. They're going to laugh at me, right? Well, the thing is when I beat Rob Rison senseless and I rip the hair off of his head and I smack that little smirk off of his mouth that always pisses me off, then people are going to be like, oh, crap, Dooley Trailer has beaten Rob Rison, who beat Matt Hardy, which means Dooley Trailer can beat Matt Hardy, which, look at that, sets me up for success. Next thing you know, I'm going to be AEW. Never even know.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point, too. That got announced today as well. So you never know, right?
Exactly. See, I use other people's fame to my opportunity. See? I've done it quite a few times. It works.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay. So to let the listeners clue in a little bit, today AEW announced their Denver show. That they're coming to the First Bank Center in Broomfield, Colorado, in beginning of March, March 7th, I believe. So that should be fantastic. So I believe everybody's pretty excited about that. Are you as well?
Yeah, of course. I find it kind of funny that they announced Rob Rison versus Dooley, and then I'm going to beat Rob Rison, and then they're going to be in town. I mean, I'll be there with my gear. I'll be ready to fight. I mean, me personally, I don't think it'll ever happen, but, like, if... To me, here's a dream match. To go back to the last question.
Okay.
If it was up to me, and if people took my skill and my trade and my craft seriously about what I do in that ring,
mm-hmm.
I would love to fight Jon Moxley because I know that would be a brutal, brutal match.
Okay.
I would enjoy throwing fists with Jon Moxley. Not even so much wrestling. Just fighting would be great.
Yeah, I would. I'd concur with that. I'd pay money to see that.
Exactly, as would I.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I think that's a fantastic point to end with. But Dooley Trailer, I do appreciate you coming on the podcast. But before I do let you go, people wanted to follow up with you like on the social medias. Where could they do that?
Well, all I have is Facebook right now. You can type my name in, Dooley, rolls off the tongue, Dooley Trailer. Trailer, mm-hmm. And you should be able to find me. If not, you have to look me up under the word Duel, D-U-E-L, second word Lee, L-E-E, because somebody wanted to try to shut down my Facebook page and didn't like the way I spelled my name or something, so that's the only way they'll let me keep my Facebook.
Damn Mark Zuckerberg.
Mm-hmm. That son of a bitch.
All right. Well, once again, I do appreciate you coming on, and I will, of course, be seeing you Saturday as well.
All right. I'll see you in the fourth row. I'll be sure to flip you off first thing.
All right. Thanks. Once again, a big thank you to Dooley Trailer for coming on to this episode of the Wrestling with Altitude podcast and introducing himself to all of our listeners and to get to know him just a little bit better. Of course, catch him this Saturday at New Era Pro Wrestling New Year's Bash from Mile High Comics at 7 p.m. That should be great. You want to get tickets, either head over to the New Era Pro Wrestling's website or to their Facebook page, and you can get tickets there, and as well as you can get tickets at the door. All right, well, before we talk about the rest of what I have in my view, let's do a quick weekend review of what I got to experience this past week when it came to the pro wrestling area. We had on Friday, we had Lucha Libre and Laughs. That's Showbiz Baby event from the Oriental Theater. And a fantastic night, great matches, so much that I cannot pick a favorite match from this event. Each one had something a little special and surprising that I'm going to give kudos to everybody that wrestled on the card. I mean, you had everything from Heather Monroe defeating, you know, the Colorado Standard right now for women's wrestling, Ali Gato, to become the new women's champion for Lucha Libre and Laughs. That title was vacated. It was vacant. And you had the Gregory Iron and Cody Devine match versus Xander Creed and Caleb Crush. You had the Infinity Gauntlet Snap. You had the Ragnarokers regaining the tag team championships from the Lumberjills, I believe that's the name of Heidi Howitzer and Bentley Powell. And you had Colt Cabana taking on Filter. Fantastic match. Both of them just went at it. The championship match there with Anaya versus Dak Draper. Anaya channeling his inner Sabu. It was great. My vantage point is I got to where I was sitting. I was behind Anaya when he took flight from the chair, and it was just a marvelous view that I saw of him flying and doing that drop, doing that cannonball. I mean, it was a great, great night. Then on Saturday, we had the Rumble at the Loud House. Loud House is the Pepsi Center's nickname when the Colorado Mammoth play there. And this was in partnership with Rocky Mountain Pro and the Colorado Mammoth. So they had the wrestling after the show. Let's talk about the Colorado Mammoth game a little bit since I was there and part of it. And so that was great. The Mammoth kind of started off a little bit slow and fell behind at the beginning of the game, down a few goals, but they found the adjustments that they needed to make and pulled off that victory. So that was fantastic to end the game with a victory for the Mammoth. And then the Rocky Mountain Pro got the ring set up fairly quickly, didn't have to wait for the autographs this time around of the Colorado Mammoth players. Instead, they got moved out to the lobby, I believe, or the concourse. So they got to set up that right away and got that ring set up. Some fantastic matches. Each one of them, just like Lucha Libre and Laughs, had a lot going for them. You know, they had Severino Corrente versus Gregory Iron in the match. Nice moment Gregory had with the Make-A-Wish kid. So that was fantastic, and I know that meant a lot to him for doing that. We had the tag team triple threat match of the Tag Dudes and JK Pop, as well as Fisticuffs Inc. Got to get in the ring, and we have brand new champions there with JK Pop, now the brand new Rocky Mountain Pro Tag Team Champions. So that was kind of surprising there, as well as he had Lipto in action with I believe Abtiba and CJ Pricefield for the Charge Championship. Lipto retains. That was fantastic. We also had the Rocky Mountain Pro Championship, Marlon Bishop defending against the Vulture, Dustin Urich, and that was great. And surprise, surprise, the Vulture is now the champion of Rocky Mountain Pro. After that, we had the Rocky Mountain Rumble match. Lots of competitors in this match, and forgive me if I do not get everybody in there, but we had Heidi Howitzer, Austin Reddick, and this isn't necessarily in the order they entered. Cody Devine, Big Filt Dog was in there, Jumbo Zamore, Rad Brad, I believe, was in there, as well as Big Guns, Justin Andrews, Animal Sam was in there as well, as few of the other talent as well. And this was the winner was going to win the Rumble at the Loud House championship title, a nice looking belt to go with that. And looked like Jumbo Zamore was going to win that. But surprise, surprise, we had a final entrant, and that was Wooly, the Colorado Mammoth mascot. Jumbo was talking trash during the game to him, and here he comes flanked by a bunch of the Colorado Mammoth players as well, leading into the ring, and Wooly pulls out the victory and is the Rumble at the Loud House Rumble champion. So congrats to Wooly for winning that. It was a fantastic match. So that was great to see. So it was a fantastic weekend that I got to see at pro wrestling this time around. And I know I talk a lot about that, but normally the more than I normally do, but it was so fantastic. I'm still having a little bit of a tough time processing it all because it was so damn good. All right, so let's talk about shifting gears. What I have in view for this particular week coming up, we have starting the weekend off with Rocky Mountain Pro. They are having their charged television tapings. Different changing gears as Rocky Mountain Pro has recharged and is ready for 2020. That is going to take place at the Quarry in Golden, Colorado at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds. You can get tickets at the door, or you can get tickets over to rmpwrestling.com and click on their events link, and you should be able to purchase tickets there. All right, and then on Saturday, New Era Wrestling presents New Year's Bash. Like we had talked with Dooley Trailer from Mile High Comics at 4600 Jason Street. It's at 7 p.m., doors at 6:30. Tickets are $10. You can go either to NewEraProWrestling.com's website or go over to their Facebook page, and you can get tickets there as well as getting tickets at the door. Some of the matches they've announced so far, like we said there, Dooley Trailer versus Rob Ryzen, and you guys should be knowing that name now, like Dooley said, taking on their Matt Hardy. But Rob Ryzen has made such a great name, traveling all over the world in the country, and, you know, is based, I believe, in the Orlando area, but that should be good. As well as some of the other matches for New Year's Bash, we got Eric Angel versus Big Guns Justin Andrews versus Logan Austin, number one contender for the 5280 championship. Bruce Rogers will be in action as well. He's the champ, as well as I believe Delta Jr. and Rayo Polito are in tag team. As well, they're going to be facing the Night Terrors for the championship, for the tag team championship. And then another match that got announced as of today, or I think just recently, Ari Aurora versus Ali Gatto. So this one I'm excited about either. I'm not positive, but I think this might be Ali Gatto's New Era Pro Wrestling's debut, so that's going to be exciting to see these two gals get in the ring here in a New Era, so that should be fun as well. All right, well, that's what I have in my view for this coming weekend. But before I go, want to thank you all for listening. If you want to hear other great shows that we are on the brand new Trending Topics Network, do the search for that and subscribe to that feed, and you'll catch other great shows such as All Beer Inside, Old School at the Movies, the Eurovision Showcase, and Wrestling Cheers. Want to get in contact with the show? Website is wrestlingwithaltitude.com. podcast@wrestlingwithaltitude.com is the email address. Facebook, wrestlingwithaltitude.com page there. Twitter handle is WrestleAltitude. And once again, I want to thank you all for listening and having fun wrestling with altitude.